this section is about courting and marriage and relationships. We're wondering what your parents or other older folks, maybe teachers, whoever was important in your life, what they told you about marriage.
Responsibility for your action, for your acts, that's about what I learned, I was told, be responsible for your acts.
Okay. What did you learn about marriage from seeing your own parents in their marriage?
Take and give. That's about marriage.
It's a lot of sharing and a lot of giving and a lot of not so much taking, maybe. Or you shouldn't be taking, but sometimes you do, huh? Your marriage, you think, was pretty similar to your parents' in what you lived out?
I would say so. We were a farm life, of course. It was pretty much like the parents. Farm work and raising children, of course. Yes. Although we had powered washing machine and pretty much and a dryer we got in 48 after it.
You mean that meet the work?
Bottle gas stove we got in 48, but then the dryer we got after 50.
What was that made the work easier, you mean?
Made the wife's work a lot easier, oh yeah. The wash line was, by the time the wash was done, and there was the sun was gone, and then the wind would come up, and then you got it out. Well, it got fresh smell, but then you had to bring it in and dry it anyway, especially winter months.
Do you know if your parents' marriage or your grandparents' marriage were arranged marriages?
Not that I know. I don't think so. I don't believe so. Well, my mother and my father were, of course, neighbors, and same way with me and Louise, my wife. Well, it was 3 miles, but still at that time, there was no roads, of course, especially with the terrain, with the lakes and through the freshwater lake and creeks, but everything was pretty well home center. The church was only 3 miles, and school was and of course, government was pretty home center until the autos came, automobile. But otherwise,
so people met each other through community,
and then thrashing.
And thrashing crews.
Thrashing crews was a big meeting place. You got all the neighbors, the boys and whatever.
Together, huh?
Yeah, they wanted to be men, do the work, the men, the boys.
Did you ever hear of that coupling or couplai?
Oh yeah, there was some.
Maybe not your generation so much?
Well, maybe John Remick and Emil Lang, I think they got. But she lives in Lair, of course, and John lives in our area. That was maybe one case.
Who arranged that marriage?
I think even the uncle, Gottlob Silverman, did that, I believe, as far as I know.
Your uncle arranged their...
No, the uncle of the Emil Lang.
Oh.
I believe his Mrs. Remick came and said was it wouldn't. And then, of course, would know a girl for John, of course, and then evidently that came into being.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess that's all for that part. The next is family life.
What do you recall your parents teaching you about raising children, specifically? Any advice for raising kids?
Well, take care of them, of course. Diaper work, diaper needed changing. And of course, they were... Of course, I was pretty much always with the parents. Leah was home with the babysitter more than I was.
Who was the babysitter?
Brother Leo, then of course he had Brother Edwin, because he had this heart condition, so he was more of a babysitter than... But then there was occasions that I had, the folks were gone.
Did husbands and wives at that time early on have equal authority or in making big decisions? Where there's a lot of...
Well, government and church, of course, that was pretty much as long as, especially when it was only men's work, but of course, they heard about it, what the woman taught if they came home and told what was going on. Then, of course, they got the instructions. The men folks did for governing the church.
From the women, huh?
From the wives, from the women.
Mm-hmm. Kind of an interesting question. Was there competition between girls and boys for various things?
No, not really, I don't think. There was women that had worked on the thrashing machine, especially earlier days, not so much anymore after the tractors, but horsepower and so on. I remember hearing my brother-in-law's mother working. Then there was a Mrs. Grodd, she talked about working on the horsepower thrashing machine. As a woman, as a girl, of course.
Mm-hmm. How were, is there any way you could say that children were disciplined? I mean, I guess speaking for several families in that area, is there any standard?
Oh, spanking, that's about the only, that was pretty kind of like, pretty, the rule.
Do you know of any changes of child raising standards from, say, your grandparents as opposed to your parents, or were they? Do you think they were?
I'd say that in school, of course, the teacher was the ruler. She had authority and whatever she proposed, whatever she meditated out on, that was so perfectly okay with the parents. There was no resisting the teacher's authority or mm-hmm. discipline.
Mm-hmm. Did you or your family ever seek advice from the older people on certain things, maybe farming tricks or financial planning or something like that?
Well, yeah, there were people that liked to borrow money, and of course, but there was pretty much the same stomach.
I thought this was kind of an interesting question. How were grown-up children treated when they had conflicting ideas, maybe marriage decisions or religion or something? Just you go against the grain a little bit.
Well, not really, of course. Whatever you do, of course, you'll have to act out on your life. One good thing I'd say is with more intermarriage is the blood what would you call that?
Not interbreeding so much or whatever.
Married cousins, which was kind of prevalent in the village as well. Transportation was so there was a lot of too much cousins and second cousins, whatever. So that was the good thing.
Well, we are resuming this on July 30th of the year 2000. And this is the interview questions part two, and starting at number 27, but we're going to skip through some of them, just stick with the more relevant ones, so we should be able to finish this this evening without much of a problem. So, now, did your grandparents or parents select friends from outside of your family that they could share things with, you know, how they're feeling or...
Pastors. That's about... That's about it, I suppose. Yeah.
Did your German-Russian friends form a group or a clique for dancing or eating food or different things, accordion music, or maybe a little drinking of alcohol or things like that?
No. It was a busy life, and there was very little 4th of July's, and that Memorial Day, 4th of July Day, they didn't like to miss. But otherwise, it was pretty much a life support program. So
too busy working to have much free time like that. How did your grandparents or parents view Freundschaft?
Well, Father Fred was a good or great arborator, collecting bad debts, loans, for himself, and of course he would have been fine well for collecting for the church dues and making arrangements with the young couples there after the 30s, after things started getting better. They went out and seen the August guys, and Fred Lang went out and visited with each and asked what they would be able to donate for a pastor for our church services for the year.
Who made the most of the money decisions in your family?
Oh, I suppose it was pretty it was well talked over, and each had their own input.
What were the most important religious teachings in your home? What was really strived or, I guess, driven home, you could say?
Well, daily devotion, of course, church services, and of course, Dad was Sunday school teacher, and of course, backup for deacon for reading church service. The elected deacon wasn't happened to be not there.
Now, were most of your friends, or your parents, or grandparents' friends, German, Russian? Were most of them, or was it a mixture?
Well, the grandparents, of course, they only were able to speak the German language, so that. But Dad communicated with the language of, he went to school during World War I, night school. Then of course he was an avid reader, and so he learned English, the American language. And of course had friends with natives, immigrants, other immigrants.
So he could speak English a little better than some of the other people?
Yeah, I'd say so. And Mother went to school, American school, after age 10 or so. Well, maybe she was 13 in 1910 when they built a school. Of course, there were the Kemet house, they had school. So she was 9, 10 before she got at American school.
Was there ever a time you were afraid to say that you were German or of German heritage?
No, we had a small circle, of course. It was school and church and, well, town, of course. We got to go along. Each one had his turn. Dad would take along one, but then we had to rotate me and Leo and, of course, Ella.
Well, did speaking German ever affect your relationship with people in Napoleon or any of the surrounding towns or a church or anything like that?
One time, me and August Warner went to a Christmas program at Bunker or Belden School, and as I could get along well with American language, but August didn't, so we were talking German, and of course, Mr. Wesley Nicholson Senior, of course, told us this is America, this is speak the language of the land.
Yep. So do your children and or grandchildren speak German as well?
Yes, as long as especially the grandparents, they kept the practice up, and then we spoke it at home, and I still do with people that I know that are able to understand it.
So do you think they speak German as part of their everyday lives, or the children and grandchildren?
I don't think so. No, I wouldn't think so. Not now, not in the year 2000. They're pretty oriented to the with going to school all these years, they are pretty well ingrained with the native language, American language.
I try to think about it like once a day, just to keep it fresh. So, yeah, I definitely try. So, were your parents interested in politics at all?
Yeah, Dad was the first supervisor when Peace Township got organized. Now, that was in 1921. Then, of course, the voting and elections was a good way to settle things. Then later on, he came over and talked Dad into that being a Democrat judge in elections. Of course, I was election clerk, and then to get election over quick, if everybody voted Republican, and then we didn't have to fill out the Democratic books and put no names in or anything, and then of course we were done. But if there was a two-party, then it took about twice as long. And Mr. Mertz and maybe there were others, you know, they wanted to be done in a hurry, an election evening after 7 o'clock. And then he talked Dad into being a Democrat judge. And from there on, Dad was, as a rule, a Democratic judge until even Gil got the job even into the 90s here until they reorganized the townships again, voting in Tappan at the center instead of at the Tanner School. So that happened during the 90s when that changed, even the last election, I believe.
So what sort of political issues were your parents interested in? What was on their minds a lot?
Well, Dad favored Langer with the World War One, because the South Dakota had a law passed you couldn't use German, and of course then Armour. I said Armour. Well, anyway, the business people they was enforcing it, and then all the German customers went to the other town, Delmont, and then them guys went broke because of the didn't have to trade. But Langer, he said these German people aren't they're good citizens, only they can't speak the American language. So he had a resolution or more or less a law passed that you were able to speak it. There was no restriction in North Dakota.
Schools or roads or anything, was that of interest?
Roads was big, and school, yeah. It needed attention, it needed unification, unity, teachers, and get teachers, of course. Yeah, it was very needable, of course. They knew they needed that.
How often did you vote?
Well, I voted every election ever since I'm 21.
Which was the voting age at that time, before they moved it to 18.
Right.
So do you normally vote these days?
Oh, yes. Yeah, voting, that is very important. Maybe not, one vote doesn't mean much in the Transcendental, but in local city and local areas, one vote decides a lot of things.
So you vote in local, state, and national elections?
Yes. Yeah, I believe in voting. You got that is very important, and I encourage to keep the young generations doing it. I've insisted on it too.
Where was the polling place?
There was one school in the township, which were out of four, and that's where the voting was in our immediate resident Peace Township, of course.
Was there a president that you remember that they didn't like or particularly agree with?
Well, being at World War One, yeah, Woodrow Wilson. with the World War One, of course, against Germany. So Woodrow Wilson, of course, was the president at the time. So
he got the blame.
Well, anyway. he was instrumental in whatever happened, no doubt.
So is there a political party that your parents were in support of? Any Republicans or Democratic, or do you remember?
Well, like I said a moment ago, when this fella came over and said we need a Democratic judge at the election. From there on, Dad was a Democrat, of course, and to make it more interesting, I followed the suit so far in the general election, but in our November election.
So what different kind of churches and denominations were there, aside from, Lutheran, of course, which was... Yes, most all of the Langs, and but were there other kinds of churches around?
Oh yeah, the Reformed was only half a mile from Klickstall, and then of course my step-grandfather and the real grandmother, they were Seventh-day Adventists, and of course. And then, of course, Dad would go along once a year or so, and I happened to be, that I remember twice, went along with Ray Sluster, a step to the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Napoleon. And then I remember going down to the flat, but it was real early, so it must have been the early 20s. We came home one evening, and I remember being down at the church. And then, of course, I suppose I was tired, but I remember coming across the East Pasture through coming home. I woke up, and then, of course, I still remember the day we were at this Seventh-day Adventist, this church down by the flat. One interesting thing that I've been telling you lately, attending a church service in Napoleon at the Seventh-day Adventist, we had a Pentecostal service. The Nat Rutt, he was the organ, organ or piano, but he was playing the piano, and notes are the same in any language, but there was English speaking people in church, and a Russian, which was Jacob Jakub Paris, and then German. And they all sang that one song in his own language. So that was quite, even to this day now that I'm telling it to my, that I've been to a Pentecost church service many, a long time ago. But not, of course, at the time when Peter and them Their tongues were twisted.
So what were your, I'm sure there are lots of memories of the one-room schoolhouse. That was how far away from the farm then?
3/4 mile.
That's all.
Luckily.
And that's the only school you attended?
Yep. Yeah, 8th grade.
What do you remember the most about that experience?
Oh, we were, my mother had gone to American school, of course, so we knew some English, but the other remics and so they, I was lucky that my mother could help with homework, and I always took homework along. I got a special book carrying thing from the auction sale at the Gelfinney Ranch. And I suppose that was in 23, it must have been auction. That was Kai Color. And I treasured that, carrying my books home.
Yep. So what sort of things did you do over the recess or the lunch hour that you remember? Any sort of games or anything?
Oh yeah, pump and pull away. That was goal lines and both ends. And then of course you got tagged. And Andy over, and then we had some, dropped a handkerchief in the schools, I suppose, during the winter time. And that's about all that come to my memory offhand.
So how many kids were in that school at that time, and how many grades?
8 grades, but there was, say 30. 20, even 31 or 2. My brother, of course, he was school age, but he his health condition, he only attended. And then John Remick was another guy. He was to school one day, and then, of course, he stayed with rheumatic fever, it must have been. So he skipped another whole year. But then the teacher combined 4th and 5th grades to get the grades in, of course, with then the ability too of the students. John was 56 years old, but he was with the 4th graders because the language, of course, being German at home, and then of course with Gottlob Lang and Jake Neumeller, that I remember well, when they were 3rd and 4th graders, 5th graders maybe, 29. Jake left, of course, for Montana, like the Neumellers all did. They moved to Montana in spring of 29.
The brother you were referring to was Edwin, who died when he was 9, was it?
Brother Edwin.
9 years old.
9 years old.
So his school attendance was limited?
Yeah, he didn't, because of the health reason, he couldn't attend school, but...
Any things that you remember about people bringing stuff to recess or to school that was interesting, or unusual, or pets or something like that?
Stand them up. Well, Kidder County School Superintendent, she visited, I remember well, Mrs. Ibeck. And for some 925, and then Dr. Price stopped by too. There was diphtheria in school number 1. And then, of course, when Broofy died, he was a twin. There was a Floyd and a Lloyd. I think it was Lloyd that died from the disease. And of course,
diphtheria.
Must have been diphtheria, yeah. Then, of course, one time a cat happened to come to school a stray cat, and Rudy Remick threw it down the outside. Of course, it got messed up, and then teacher made him had to wash the cat. That's about. And of course, dogs would come along too with the teams of the horses like Remick's. They always they drove, and Uncle Ben's and Peter M. Remick's. They lived 2.5-3 miles away. They always drove to school. They never walked, but we never. With a 3/4 mile, we always walked. Especially if we could see the farm run leaving school, then. There was no. Then we left south. We walked southeast, and with the northwest wind, of course, to our back, we very seldom got picked up. Or
so your ancestors made their living as farmers in Russia, I guess.
Yeah, they were off the land as farmers. Live off the land like we did homestead days.
So they have orchards or vineyards or I would imagine gardens, but
yeah.
The Bashtans?
Oh yeah, but to prepare a vineyard, They spaded they call it the black earth region in South Russia, of course. That got spaded 3-4 feet deep, and then the vineyard got planted. That like plowed, you know, that wasn't just the surface. Then of course it was like summer fall, you know. That's where the vineyards were planted. And there was grapes growing and other fruit too, which was not such a harsh climate as North Dakota.
Did they, you remember them talking about any successful farming practices or how to handle animals or harvesting tips or anything like that?
Yes, there was quite rotation. It got planted, I believe, 3 years, and then 1 year it was pastured for cattle. Well, the rate, Gildendorf especially, that was a dairy, I heard say, you know, they planted the different, I suppose, barley and wheat and corn, and then 1 year, that was kind of a law. Yeah, there was rotation of crops, but was very emphasized in that village for sure. Yes, Glickstall, the daughter of the village, the daughter of, it had, I heard my grandfather, step-grandfather, Christian Reisler, of course, say that they worked in the fields in the summertime, and then in the wintertime, they in the quarry, and this Glickstall was near a quarry, the rock, building rock, they could saw them. They were soft rock. Well, they were. I'm sure they didn't have diamond pointed saws, but anyway, and that's what, of course, they had year-round employment. That's why it was a lucky village, and then. Grandpa Rizzo talked about thrashing no thrashing machine, but using the wind. And early in the morning, the breeze was real steady before sunrise or even when it did go out, and toss it up in the air, and of course let the chaff pile up, and the wheat, of course. Yeah, there was still times before the thrashing machine, but there were steam thrashers too, but not movable. People had to haul their grain in. It was bought by the village too, presumably. not Flickstar, but Freakstar, you know. It was cooperative for everybody. And then I suppose they had a ration. Today you bring your stuff, and tomorrow the next guy, you know, there had to be organizing, of course, doing things.
So what family members helped out in the village fields there?
Well, anyway, there was all this work, but the first thing was herding geese, watching the geese for a group of neighbors. That was one of the first jobs that my dad had, I guess. And that was at a very young age, 6, 7 years old maybe. Then, of course, there was graduations. The next brother got the job, and then he helped herd the cattle. And then, of course, they all had to herd the horses too. They went out for bids for herding the work horses. Well, they turned them out at night, and then, of course, especially the ones that wasn't needed for work, colts, and that weren't able to work, or some, of course, I suppose, weren't needed all the time, and they had to be watched pretty much the 24 hours a day. John Albrecht, and his sons, they had the job of herding the horse, taking care of the horses herd day and night, of course, at least at night.
So did they ever talk about people stealing stuff or burglary back there or anything?
Oh, yes. Horses was like stealing cars, you know. If you had two horses and a wagon, then that was trucking. That was, you could haul stuff and earn money. Yeah, horses was a big item, and they were locked in, and too. Locked in, solid, but normally.
Locked up at night?
At night, you know. But there was smart guys too, you know. Especially one would keep the owner interested in talking, or like nowadays too, you know. And the other guys would be in the barn, and when he figured they were well down the road, then of course he'd cut off the conversation. And if the owner didn't think about checking his barn, yeah, by next morning the horses, they had gone quite a distance, couldn't be traced. And of course, they were at the places too, like in Gildendorf or in Odessa. No ordinary citizen could walk in. If he did, he never came out alive. Grandma Gums talked about that, you know. That was underground gangster. But then, of course, like gangsters are, you know, to keep it for myself, then even the gangster, his life was wiped off the map. So they get a bigger share of the other fellow, of course.
So what was the penalty for stealing? Did you ever hear anything like that?
Well, they say youngsters, they got, I heard neighbor Lida talking about whatever, they got into mischief, being in jail with no bathroom. And of course, that was suffering, that not having a men's room. So they had a secluded place for keeping until they had court proceedings, and of course penalties, without it had fines. Yeah, as soon as two persons come together, there's always a problem. Somebody else got to help solve, you know, who's right. who's got more for age-wise, or being there the longest, or whatever, closest to the property. Yeah, that, as long as there's two persons, there's things to be settled.
Now, your grandparents were homesteaders or pioneer settlers?
Grandpa Carl, of course, they were homesteaders. They are original homesteaders and racers too. Grandparents, they were. They had a. They used a 5-year term, of course. They were the first ones.
Where exactly did they homestead?
Well, Raceless was southeast, one half of the southeast, and the south half of the southwest was Raceless. It was a mile long. But then, of course, the Langs had the north half of the southeast, which was 80 acres, and then, of course, the east half of the northeast, one-fourth, that made, of course, 160 acres, which was a boot. And, of course, Fisher, the first homesteader, he tried to pick out the best land in the section. So he made his claim a boot. Of course, the others had to follow suit. So in section 32, Winkless was a square quarter, but he had the half of northwest and half of the northeast, which 80 acres of half, of course. So it made 160 for him. But otherwise, Raceless was a mile long, and Fisher's and the Langs was a boot.
But now Grandpa Carl's homestead was the southeast quarter and northeast quarter of Section 32, Peace Township, Kidder County, North Dakota. That's where that one was actually.